We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want to tell you how prompt Senator John Kennedy is. He's supposed to call us at 3:10. At 3:09:25, the phone was ringing. And he's with us. We're going to get to Senator Kennedy here in just a moment. Let me give you just a quick update on what we have been talking about this afternoon. In the event you were just getting in your car, just tuning in, President Trump, I thought, reached a tipping point. And I explained that in a blog that I wrote, which is on our website, WWL.com. Should be up on our Facebook page as well, man. Get involved in those conversations. And I'll get involved in them on Facebook a little bit later. But the president's... many of the president's loyal supporters were turning on him with the policy of taking children away from parents. So the president reached a tipping point, and today he signed an executive order ending the new policy. Also, we were talking about the rumors and the things that the people of North Korea are told about Kim Jong-un and his dad. I mean, just ridiculous stuff like their bodies are so perfect, they don't ever have to use the toilet. Because, I mean, not even one, not number two, because their bodies use up everything they consume. Also, they were telling the people of North Korea that sawdust is a nutritious food. So if you're hungry, eat sawdust. And that Kim Jong-il, the dad, played golf one time and made 11 holes in one. So it made me think about our media. And as imperfect as our media is, at least it's free. But I also can't help but think about how you and I often allow ourselves to be manipulated by the media. All right, let's get to Senator Kennedy. Before we get to Senator Kennedy, I want to officially announce Senator John Kennedy's candidacy for governor of the state of Louisiana. Senator, how are you?
I don't know.
I just wanted to make that official.
Oh, well, that's not official, but I appreciate the okay. good effort.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, we'll see. I've got my hands full right now with this.
Yes, you do. Look, right off the bat, Senator, let me ask you about President Trump signing this executive order today and that whole fiasco.
Here's what's been going on for the past week. America welcomes about a million of our world's neighbors into our country legally as immigrants every year. We welcome more immigrants legally than any other country in the world. And many people want to come here, and I'm flattered by that. We all should be. I mean, when's the last time you heard of anyone trying to sneak into China or Russia? People want to come to America. But we also had last year, and we'll have this year, about 500,000 people who jumped the line. They don't want to follow the law and get in line and wait their turn. They want to jump the people who are already in line, and they come into our country illegally. In the past, in most cases, but not all cases, under President Obama, the illegal immigrants would be detained, arrested, if you will, and then they would be let go and told, come back to court in 2 or 3 weeks. Well, of course, they never showed back up in court, and they were lost in the country, became permanent illegal residents. Last week, President Trump started saying zero tolerance. If you are caught crossing the border illegally, you will be arrested and prosecuted. First offense is a crime, but it's a misdemeanor. Second offense is a felony. As a practical matter, what happens is people get caught, they plead guilty, and then we send them back to the country of origin. The mistake the president made, or at least some of the people for whom or who work for him, they separated the children from the parents. If I go rob a liquor store tomorrow and I'm arrested, they separate me from my child. That's just standard.
Well, then why was it a mistake for the president to order that policy be enforced?
Because I think this is different. These are young children who have been traveling with their parents. Many of them are in bad faith, but many of them are in. And they're not robbing a liquor store. I mean, they're trying to come into our
country. I agree with you, by the way, but I wanted to play devil's advocate there for those who think that there's no difference between those two things.
Could I add one other point? In this complicated, there's a case out of California from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit that said, it's called Flores v. Reno. It says that when a child comes into the country illegally, the government can hold that child in custody only for 21 days. So many of the lawyers of justice said we have to separate the children from the parents. We can't put them in jail with or in the detention center with the parents, and if we do, we can only hold them 21 days. I don't agree with that reading of Reno. I think what Flores v. Reno said was always do what's in the best interest of the child. And to me, the answer always, and I said it, the White House disagreed with me, but they've now changed their position. Continue to arrest the parents. You can't condone somebody jumping the line and coming in illegally, but do not separate them from their children. Allow their children to be with them in the detention center.
Totally agree with that. Senator, I how much do you think Stephen Miller, Trump advisor, is influencing the president on decisions like this?
My sense is, I don't know this for a fact, but my sense is Mr. Miller is very influential. He is very hard line on immigration. That's not a criticism. I support his position on this premise that we have immigration laws. If you don't like them, change them. But in the meantime, you can't let people come into your country illegally for no other reason but public safety.
I agree with you. I described Stephen Miller as the new Steve Bannon in the White House, and I describe him as a behind-the-scenes advisor that acts like the butcher cutting up the red meat to feed Trump's base.
Well, I don't. That's
God, that sounds like something you would have said.
No, I may write that one down, Scoot. Yeah, you know, I know Mr. Miller is very influential, and to what extent he's influenced the president here, I don't know. I think the president has reached the point, and he made a mistake, but to his credit, he has corrected it. He's just fed up, I am too, with having immigration laws that aren't enforced.
Well, that's true. And I mean, we definitely need to change things. And this idea that you come to this country with a child and you're not prosecuted, that is absurd and a terrible message to send to people who want to come to America. But my main point in talking about all of this the last few days has been the playing of politics with the kids, because this seemed to be timed to bring up this topic so there would be pressure to pass an immigration bill. And it seems like the president reached a tipping point and had to even work before that happened and do something to stop it.
I think your analysis is right. And all we need to do, it seems to me, is go pass a bill to solve this problem permanently now that the president has corrected his policy. I don't know if a bill will pass, Scoot. Some bills have been introduced to do just what the president has just done. Arrest the parents, but don't separate them from the children. There are other bills that say the answer is arrest the parents and then let them go on their promise that they will come to court later and that you can avoid separating the children that way. But that's what we've been doing, and of course, nobody ever shows up for court.
I understand, and that would be a problem. Senator, can we just tell you to do what you can to, like, fix some of these problems?
Well, we are, and I want to give, look, the president made a mistake. I said that, I don't know, what's today, Wednesday, Monday, and I'm not sure the White House was pleased with my comments, but you got to call them like you see them. I said the president made a mistake, but to his credit, he has said, okay, I made a mistake, I'm going to fix it. And now we are continuing to arrest illegal immigrants, as we should, but we are allowing the children to stay with their parents in the detention center, which has required us to refigure our infrastructure, but that's a small price to pay.
Senator, before I let you go, let me ask you this quick question. When you're governor, I mean, if you're governor, would you have done more to bring this legislature to a decision before a third special session?
Yes.
Okay.
And the answer, look, I just have a difference of opinion with Governor Edwards, whether I run or not. I mean, he thinks our problem is that we tax too little. I think our problem is we spend too much. And it's just a fundamental disagreement.
I would tend to agree with you, Senator. I appreciate you taking time with us, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Senator John Kennedy, live from D.C. With all the recent hysteria, you know what? I'm trying to decide whether or not to do this topic that I have scheduled for this hour. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. We're going to kind of change things. If you're on hold and you want to talk about something, just stay with us and we'll talk about it. But I'm going to go ahead and do this topic. With all the recent hysteria about the impact of entertainment on a young generation, with all the talk about the negative images in entertainment, do you think when it comes to teenagers that there's more sex, there's more drug use, and more smoking cigarettes? Is that an impression that you have? When you hear about all the criticism of entertainment and the impact that it has on teenagers, do you think these things are down? We're going to talk about that when we come back. And can you think of something entertainment made you do when you were a teenager that you even knew at the time you shouldn't do? Our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back on WWL. Oh, these country music performers singing about drugs. I mean, it's really destroying America. That's Eric Church. I'm getting stoned. With the recent hysteria about the impact of entertainment on a young generation, the sex, the internet, it's everywhere. The drug use, the positive depiction of so many negative things. Why is it that fewer U.S. teens are smoking, having sex, and doing drugs? New study has come out, and it shows that fewer teens are having sex, smoking, and doing drugs. So I guess that shows that maybe the media is not having the impact that some people have led you to believe it's going to have. Also, this survey was revealing that kids are drinking less milk. And this is something that really started after World War II. The consumption of milk has gone down. I mean, I remember as a kid growing up, we were told to drink our milk. Well, milk shifted to soda and then to Gatorade and other sports drinks. Recently, replacing milk has been energy drinks like Monster and Red Bull. So, I guess at the dinner table, your mom's going to tell you, all right, son, finish that Red Bull. All right, can you think of something? And I love to talk about this because it helps us explain how the media operates and how entertainment works. Can you think of something that entertainment made you do that you knew you shouldn't have done? I've got a text here that says, as a teen, Scoot, Guns N' Roses made me smoke cigarettes because they made it look so cool. Drank Night Train wine also. Well, 50s, 60s. There were adults in TV shows that made smoking look cool. I mean, you put on a rerun of the Andy Griffith Show, he lights up. He'll light up a cigarette now and then. So there's smoking in shows that are in reruns, but smoking isn't allowed. Nobody does smoking in shows today. But yet there's smoking. I believe that if you do something, if a band influences you to do something, like Guns N' Roses in that case, then you were already predisposed to want to try it. There was something in you that wanted to try. If you hated broccoli and Guns N' Roses ate broccoli, would you eat broccoli? No. So there was something in you in the first place that was thinking about smoking, and you were predisposed to make that decision. All right, I've got a special song. We're talking about teenagers and sex. I've got a special song from way back, and it's about sex. It comes from my generation. It even talks about public sex, having sex in public. How did we grow up and become responsible people if we were exposed to music when we were kids and teenagers that talked about... As a teenager, we heard this song about having sex in public. That's right. Man, we grew up hearing this song, playing it on our turntables. And yet, if we had gone outside and done it in the road, it would have been our fault and not the Beatles' fault. All right, so I'm making a point here that I'm making the point that we have all been exposed to suggestive music and entertainment that was considered negative. And relative to the times in which we lived, or in which you live as Gen X, Gen Y, baby boomer, or millennial, or younger, you're seeing things that are relative to the things that you see in society, the news. You know, the news has become so graphic that Hollywood had to get even more graphic to make the movies entertaining. So when you think about the Beatles and some of the stuff and some of the music about drugs and sex that we were exposed to, you know, our parents would have never allowed us to use that as an excuse. But that's the difference today. Some kid acts on a song and the parents think it's the song's fault. From the North Shore, Tom, welcome to the show.
I had the Little Nash Rambler, the song. That influenced my life drastically.
Little Nash Rambler?
Yes. You got to be familiar with that. Well, you just a young child, so I guess you ain't.
I don't remember that one.
It was this Little Nash Rambler running around with a Cadillac.
Okay, so how did that influence you, Tom?
Okay, I got to use the family car, which was a '61 station wagon, six-cylinder Rambler Classic.
Boy, that's hot.
And yeah, uh-huh. And I went out there and played around with anything on the street. And I want to tell you something. That song, The Little Nash Rambler, that was fake news. There was no way I could pull up alongside that Cadillac and scream out the window and say, hey, buddy, how can I get this thing out of second gear? That didn't happen.
That's right, Tom. Fake news all along, man. I'm glad you feel better talking about that. All right, Tom, glad you called the show. Yeah, man, we were exposed to a lot of stuff. Here's a text that says, I told the priest I was in confession because my father said all his kids had to go to confession. The priest yelled at me before Mass, and everybody stared at me when I came out of the booth. Oh, man, that's cruel. I remember confession once. I mean, I went more than once, but... The priest gave me a standing ovation, which I thought was pretty cool. Three Hail Marys and a standing ovation. That wasn't bad. Here's a text that says, Michael Jackson made me get Jerry Curl in the 80s after the Pepsi commercial. Here's a text. I had sex with my teacher because Van Halen made it look cool. LOL, she was hot too. Because Van Halen did the song Hot for the Teacher. Here is a text. Scoot, as a 19-year-old myself, I think the youth is making a turnaround with things they should not be doing. I go to a party school, and even I was surprised at how many teens stand by what they believe, not by what pop culture tells them to do. And I see that too. I see that in my son's generation. I see that in a younger generation. I hear it in the music. There is a lot of similarities between some of the hot music today, some of the popular music today that's played on our sister station, B97, and the 80s, musically and lyrically. You know, the music of the 80s was fun. It was happy. You know, Ronald Reagan was president. This country was booming. And, you know, if you were a young adult, if you were a teenager, man, you were having a great time in the 80s, generally speaking. And so I'm hearing that kind of happier tone, that positive tone in a lot of music today. And it's almost saying that, okay, hey, guess what? We didn't screw up the world. It's not our fault. So let's just go out there and do the best we can. And I honestly believe the baby boomer generation is setting a great example for younger generations in terms of relationship commitment, basically in terms of what not to do. I think Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, and teens, I think they're learning about things that they don't want to repeat, things that we did that were wrong. And, you know, we ought to take credit for helping them out by, you know, having done the wrong thing. I mean, I guess there's a positive side of that. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, when people say America is the greatest country in the world, it's fake news. No, it's not fake news, because that is your opinion. And opinions aren't fake news. Another text says, Scoot should never wear one glove like Michael Jackson. You know, a lot of people did go around dressing like him, even some white kids. Can you think of something that entertainment made you do that you knew you shouldn't do when you were younger? We'll be back on WWL. Oh, yeah, this just screams 80s to me. And, you know, there's an 80s night in the French Quarter every Thursday night, and it is packed with younger people, Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, and even younger than that. I mean, it's amazing how younger generations have adopted the music of the 80s. And it's very appealing. And it was fun, and it was up. And I hear a lot of that in music today. Ian Hoke, during the break, was reminding me of the movie The Program with James Caan. It was about a football program at a university. And in the movie, some kids were lying down in the street, defying traffic. And some kids were imitating that and got run over. And so everybody panicked. Oh, my God, the movie made them do it. And they took it out of the movie. They cut that scene out of the movie. And I remember talking about this on the air. I think it was early 90s, maybe. If some kid sees kids lying down in the street, defying traffic in a movie, and goes out and imitates that, that's a kid that obviously has never seen roadkill. Because, I mean, you can't blame the movie for that. From Uptown, JR, thanks for hanging on. You're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, I was just calling it to see if you got your tetanus shot updated.
Yeah, I do have an updated tetanus shot. Why?
Good, because you were kissing Kennedy's butt.
Well, I what do you think that I said that was kissing his butt?
Oh, everything out of his... Oh, what would you do when you're governor? If he runs against John Bel Edwards, Edwards is going to kick his butt.
Yeah, well, that may have. That's why I changed it to if. But I did officially announce his candidacy for governor because I think that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, everything you were like, oh, I agree with that. Like,
look,
I mean,
JR, here's the deal.
It's ridiculous.
I have disagreed with people a lot on this show. I've disagreed with Steve Scalise. I happen to agree with what I was talking to John Kennedy about. So I'm not going to say I disagree if I agree. And this idea that, you know, it has to all be confrontational, whatever. That's not the way it has to be. And when Senator Kennedy said he agreed with President Trump that it was a mistake. No, not agreed. He agreed with those who say President Trump made a mistake on the whole separation policy at the border. I agreed with him. I'm not going to disagree just to disagree. That's stupid. Here is a text that says sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Yeah, well, there was a lot of that in the past. Here's a text. Morgus made me fantasize about Chopsley. That's just sick. Another text says, Scoot, grew up watching the Three Stooges, never poked a friend in the eye or smashed them in the head with a hammer. That's from Sal. And Sal, you know what? If you would have done that then, your parents would have blamed you. If a kid does that today, the parents go, oh my God, it was that show. Don't you see what has changed in our country? And isn't this scary to you? And I got a text here. It says, what kind of example did baby boomers set for our relationships? Well, we set the example of what not to do, because we got married and divorced. And I think a lot of people have learned that that's not what you should try and do in life. And we turned divorce into a recreational sport. I mean, it's sad. But I think that some younger generations have got a better view of relationships because of the mistakes that we made. Here's another great 80s song. I mean, this was up and happy. This was on the Dexy's Midnight Runners Greatest Hit album. It was the only song. We'll be back on WWL. And you know that that caller was really off base, because why would you need a tetanus shot if you kiss somebody's butt? I mean, that's if you, like, you know, get cut by some metal or something. So that was a stupid conversation just from the very beginning. Here's a text about being influenced by entertainment. I tried wrestling moves as a kid. Okay, well, what happened? Anything bad happen? And if your parents saw you do something you weren't supposed to do, wouldn't they have stopped you? Yeah, because parents used to intervene in the appropriate manner. Man, this is what has really changed. And it really comes down to a lack of personal responsibility. This is something that has been totally corrupted in our country. We used to be responsible as individuals. And let's remember that this whole country is nothing more than a collection of individuals. So we can be no better than the individuals that populate this country. And too many people don't accept personal responsibility. Sports Talk is next with Christian Garrick and special guest Coach Nelson Stewart from Newman High School. They'll talk about fantasy football, and they'll have the Sports Talk fantasy football auditions, all of that coming up in just about a minute. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, Todd Manassas, our show producer, and Ian Hoke, our studio producer, and thank you for being part of our show. I mean, even if you don't call, even if you don't text, I still consider you to be a very important part of the show. The daily Facebook post on WWL Radio and SOTA, Scoot on the Air, is about President Trump reaching the tipping point. I'll get involved in those conversations a little bit later this evening. And man, we have some fun on Facebook. It gets quite passionate. Sometimes it even turns a little ugly. Well, I don't start it, but others do. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.